You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another week here at Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast covering Major League Baseball. I am your host, Tommy Stokey. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network with local experts covering teams in every market across the NBA, the NFL, and a growing team here covering Major League Baseball. It's Monday, so that means a return of the power rankings. Again, not the traditional who's the best, but let's see who had the best week in baseball. A couple other things we want to go over. So, my viewpoint or take on the Yadier Molina, Torey Lovello scuffle, where Lovello gets ejected, says something about Yadier Molina that can be interpreted a couple different ways. Molina kind of goes after him, makes contact with the umpire, no ejection. That happened on Sunday, so give my thoughts on that. And then we'll go over some struggles with Giancarlo Stanton, the Washington Nationals, and we'll look a little bit at the week ahead. So go over a couple things first before we get into that, just some notes that are popping up so far. Players of the Week, Shohei Ohtani was the American League Player of the Week, and Jameson Taillon was the Player of the Week for the Pirates. Went 2-0, two runs allowed in 14 and a third innings pitched, beat out Bryce Harper, who hit four home runs, 586 on base. The interesting note from the press release that Taillon is the first Pirate since Francisco Liriano to be Player of the Week. I thought that was kind of weird. And that was like 2013. I'm looking for it right now. Francisco Liriano, August 4th, 2013. So, good for Taillon. I'm sure they'll have more of that on Locked On Pirates. Good for Ohtani. I'm sure that they'll have more on that at Locked On Angels. And this is slowly going to turn into Locked On Shohei Ohtani because he's the biggest story in baseball. And we'll get to that more in our power ranking. But before we get to that, real quick, if you are interested in advertising on Locked On MLB, whether it's here on this national podcast, whether it's on any of our local markets that we have or that we're going to have in the future, reach out to me, Stokey, S-T-O-K-K-E, at LockedOnMLB.com. We'll hit you up with some reasonable rates and get your product out there to our listeners. So, all right, best week in baseball. Let's start with number 10. I went with the Toronto Blue Jays. You know, winning 2 out of 3 against Texas is good, but also being able to kind of stay ahead as the Yankees, who will not make my top 10 this week, as the Yankees struggle, being able to win 2 out of 3 and pick some games up is going to be important for Toronto if they're going to stay in this wild card race. So winning 2 out of 3 out of Texas, they're at number 10. Number 9, the Chicago Cubs win 2 out of 3 this weekend against the Brewers. That's good because you don't want to give the Brewers any reason to, you know, believe, I guess, that they can do what they did again last year. You want to set the tone of the division early and say, you know what, we're not going to let you get off to that hot start and get that positive thinking against us. We're going to show you that we're still, you know, we're still the king in this division. Number 8. Oh, well, I should say that they did that with, you know, there's some bad news with Anthony Rizzo that his back is flared up. We'll see what he does this week. John Lester beat the Brewers, so that's good because of how they treat him on the base pass with how aggressive they are. So some good things there from the Cubs. Number 8, the Houston Astros. I mean, they beat the Padres, so they kind of do what they're supposed to do, but they've still got the best record in the AL West. Take care of business, and they did it in a couple different ways with some good pitching. Not a ton of offense, so I guess showing ways that you can win and beating the teams you're supposed to be, you know, good enough. Number 7. The Baltimore Orioles, they took 3 out of 4 against the Yankees, and now they're calling up Hunter Harvey, so that's good for them, I guess. We'll see what exactly that means. Hunter Harvey has been a well-regarded prospect, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. They called him up today from Double-A, So we'll see what his role is going to be and what the expectations are there. But anytime you can win 3 out of 4 against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium and keep yourself in that race early. I mean, if they lose 3 out of 4 there, you can almost start packing your bags now. But, you know, I think they're 4-6 now on the year. So 3 out of 4 against the Yankees, that'll get you into the power rankings here. Number 6, the Atlanta Braves go on the road 2 out of 3 against Denver. Against Colorado in Denver. They met snow for the first time, a couple of them. But 2 out of 3 there. Sean Newcomb looked really good in his start. And he's one of those guys that you're looking at. Like, is he going to take that next step? Is he a bullpen arm? Is he a trade piece? What is he? There are a lot of guys like that on Atlanta this year. So 6-3 overall. Offense is off to a really good start. You can start asking about Ronald Acuna now. When is he going to get called up? Is it going to be against Chicago this weekend? Is it going to be waiting until the homestand when you're taking on the Phillies? Some of that might depend on Preston Tucker. We'll see. We can talk about that later on whether or not it should be affected by Preston Tucker and how he's playing, or the fact that Acuna hasn't, I don't know that he's played in a game yet. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how much they try to kind of fake it. Number 5, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the team with the best record in the National League Central, I think in the National League period. They go take 3 out of 4 against the Reds, and they're off to a hot start. They get Tyon here, player of the week. Corey Dickerson got a mention there. So they're swinging the bats well, pitching well. They have the makings early of a surprise team. And I didn't think that, you know, I said before the season started and on some of these early shows that I didn't think losing Garrett Cole and Andrew McCutchen was going to be the end of the world. If you talk to the guys at Locked On Pirates, one of the things that they like to point out is how just different that team feels, how it just looks like a more positive environment. Maybe getting rid of McCutchen and the awkward situation that he was always in with, what is he going to get traded? Is he going to go? You know, whatever that was. Maybe they're better off and playing loose and all that. So Colin Moran playing pretty well. So good for them. They had the 5th best week for me. Number 4, the Boston Red Sox. 8 wins in a row. Big comeback against Tampa Bay. Big week from Hanley Ramirez. Overall, good work. They're getting good stuff from Chris Sale, from David Price. Their big test is going to be this week against the New York Yankees. Number 3, the Arizona Diamondbacks. They beat St. Louis on the road. They're headed right now. They're going to take on the San Francisco Giants. But big week for them because they're winning games with Paul Goldschmidt not hitting, with Jake Lamb on the DL, with Steven Souza on the DL. So you have this cast of characters for Torrey Lovello that is once again getting it done. And so they have a lot of depth. Some people scoff at, you know, Daniel Descalso or, you know, Chris Owings, guys like this, yet that when they get in, they produce. Daniel Descalso homered off Clayton Kershaw. Chris Owings off to a good start, just like he did last year. So maybe these are guys you don't want to play 150 games, but they can fill in admirably and play pretty well when called upon. And there's a lot of guys like that for the Diamondbacks that they're getting production out of. So good for them to be winning without, you know, 3 of their big bats either on the field or producing. Number 2, the New York Mets. The Mets just swept the Washington Nationals. They are getting rave reviews for Mickey Callaway, how he's handled that team. Their bullpen has pitched well. A.J. Ramos, I was watching. I remember to last year when they acquired Ramos, and it was kind of weird because the Mets weren't winning last year, but they said, hey, instead of paying a free agent, we're just going to go get Ramos now because we feel like we can compete next year. And so that looks like a pretty good pickup there with Ramos. But overall, the whole bullpen is pitching well. And you go and sweep the Nationals. So they're playing well so far. Number 1, though, the team that had the best week, in my opinion, the Los Angeles Angels. And sure, taking 2 out of 3 against the Indians is good. Taking 2 out of 3 against Oakland is good. But they're the big winners here because what we've seen out of Shohei Ohtani, he's proven a lot of people wrong. He's proven myself wrong. And this is one of those things that I think it's a self-criticism that I learned and that I think a lot of people in media and just in general need to learn that, you know, I was making assumptions about Ohtani, A, from a couple highlights and spring training stuff, and I'm no scout. I don't have a scout's eye. I can't look at Ohtani and say, wow, he should do this wrong. He should, or he's doing this wrong. He should do this better. I was going off the, you know, the words of other people. I think Jeff Passan, you know, in his 10 degrees today kind of apologized and said, hey, I trusted a lot of scouts, blah, blah, blah. I think, you know, I said that spring training doesn't matter. And here I was like, oh, I'm not sure about this Ohtani thing. At the same time, you know, I heard some people tell me before, they're like, oh, it looks like my team dodged a bullet by not getting Ohtani. And I was quick to shoot that down and say, look, dude costs like $2 million. It doesn't matter if he's the worst player in baseball. That was a worthy gamble, and no team is lucky to be without him. So he's proven that he can hit, at least for now. And Brandon Warren, the host of Locked On Twins, he made a good point on Twitter last week. Like, look, just because he's off to a good start doesn't mean that people are wrong, because people get off to good starts all the time. And this is still a small sample size. The league will adjust. So I think it's still going to be a challenge offensively, but hitting a home run to dead center off of Corey Kluber, that's a pretty good start. What he's done on the mound has been the most impressive part. So overall, Angels, you had the best week in baseball because you got to see that your stud free agent acquisition is actually the guy that you thought you were getting. All right, so on Sunday, Yadier Molina, Torey Lovello get into a scuffle. I think it happened early in the game where A.J. Pollock disagreed with a strike three. It was the second borderline pitch that went against the Diamondbacks. So as he's arguing at home and starts heading back to the dugout, Torey Lovello comes out. Torey Lovello gets immediately ejected. He then is caught on TV saying something along the lines of, you can't let this mother effer, referencing Yadier Molina, turn balls into strikes. Yadier Molina hears that and gets up and starts to charge at Torey Lovello. And, you know, makes contact with the umpire, benches clear, all that. At the time, I didn't know what was happening. And when you go back and look and you hear Molina is still mad about it after the game, says, you know, if he wants to, you can't just say, you just can't call somebody a mother effer and expect to not have some sort of retaliation, I guess. And that's disrespectful. You don't talk to people like that. Lovello, at the end of the game, before hearing that, had said, you know, I wish I chose my words differently. I have a ton of respect for Yadier Molina. And so I'm trying to put myself in that situation on both sides. So if I'm Molina, in the heat of the moment, that probably irritates me, and I probably get all fired up. At the same time, I don't know that you can make contact with an umpire, whether it's, you know, the umpire called it a justified response to what happened. I don't know that there's a, you know, I don't know that you can do that. I would probably at least fine him, if not suspend him. I don't know that I'm suspending him for 5 games or whatever. But you can't make contact with an umpire. Maybe you find Lovello too, but I just think when you take a step back, I don't know that Lovello meant that in a negative way. I think he said he kind of meant it as a compliment, like this guy's taken is so good at turning balls into strikes, you can't let him do that. And so, you know, I don't know that I've ever called somebody a mother effer. Kids program, PG-13 here. I don't know that I've ever called somebody that in like a negative tone. And I think when you look at the conversation, and one of the comparisons that I've seen on Twitter and other people make, and I agree with, is it's like saying this guy can't keep doing it. Now, again, heat of the moment, I understand how Molina acted. You still can't make contact with an umpire in the way that he did. And I think even after the fact, when you're cooled down and thinking about it, I just think, I don't know that that was all that, I don't think it was negative. I think it was meant as a compliment of sorts. Again, maybe a poor choice of words, but I don't know that I personally have never used, you know, when I use stuff like that, it's kind of meant like a, you know, this guy over this guy or whatever. So if Molina's not suspended, fine, I guess. If he is suspended, I totally get it. And, you know, I think we have to use context in this situation to really see how Lovello meant it. And, you know, maybe he deserves some punishment too, because, again, a poor choice of words. But that was kind of a big story on Sunday. We'll see how that develops. Another big story from the weekend, Giancarlo Stanton and his struggles. Already has 20 strikeouts, leading Major League Baseball. He has 3 home runs, but just, you know, 2 platinum strikeout games where he struck out 5 times in the same game. Not very good. And as I've said here, one of the reasons why I picked the Yankees as a wild card team and not a division champion over the Red Sox is I just felt like there was too much of a bust factor there. I just, with Judge and Stanton, I keep going back to Stanton's inconsistency, whether it's health, whether it's performance. I don't know that, you know, I don't know that it was such something that we could have seen coming from a performance standpoint. A lot of people have looked at guys going to New York and saying that they struggle, and that just generally doesn't turn out to be true. But maybe there is something to Stanton never playing a meaningful game in Miami and now coming here and clearly being off. Maybe it means nothing and it's just a bad couple games. Aaron Boone said his timing's clearly off, but we'll see. Stanton is going to hit his home runs, but I think the difference is going to be that consistency. Maybe he gets hot sometimes, but can he stay consistent enough with Aaron Judge, that whole lineup? Can they be consistent enough to get out of this funk? 5-5 isn't the end of the world, but if they come out slow against Boston, as Jesse Spector pointed out on Locked On Yankees, they can find themselves 7 games back in a hurry. And yeah, it's only April, but 7 games back isn't where you want to be. So that's Stanton's struggles. The other team struggling that I want to look at before we look at this week ahead, Washington Nationals have lost 5 in a row, which is funny because last week on Locked On MLB, I said, man, if the Nationals don't lose tonight, I don't know when we're going to find a loss on their schedule. And since that aired, they've lost 5 in a row. So good work there. They're going to have to I don't know what their deal is. I mean, Bryce Harper is doing his job. Sean Doolittle has looked really good. Probably just one of those funks and one of those situations where the Mets just played really well. But I think it was maybe a bit of a wake-up call for them that, hey, this is going to be a race here. It's not going to be handed to them. I think it says more about the Mets, though, just playing well than necessarily about the Nationals, but I did want to point out that I thought it was interesting that I gave them the little kiss of death there. And finally, let's look at the week ahead a little bit and see who's going to have a big week. I think the Milwaukee Brewers have a big week. They're on the road 3 against St. Louis, a day off, and then 3 against the Mets. With their rotation, the way that it is set up, not pitching very well with their bullpen and losing Corey Knebel, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a big week for them to get off to a good start because they can't fall behind the Cubs and the Pirates if the Pirates keep playing like this. And you look at the Cubs, they've got 3 games against the Pirates, then they've got Atlanta. So they should come out pretty well there. If you're Milwaukee, you don't want to fall back too far. Let's see. Arizona has San Francisco Dodgers. Those are 2, obviously, division series. So you want to play well in division. Arizona off to a good start, 7-2. They're going to be at San Francisco, at LA, before coming back home. Boston, obviously, 3 against New York. That'll be big for both of those sides. Cleveland has a chance to get going here with 4 against Detroit at home, and then they've got 3 against Toronto. But Cleveland stuck in the mud a little bit to start the year. Anytime this year that happens, I think you're going to like seeing Detroit on your schedule. The Astros are on the road against the Twins. The Angels can get off to a good start. They're going to have a tough 3 games against Texas, but then they've got 4 against Kansas City. Shohei Ohtani might throw a perfect game against Kansas City, so that'll be fun to watch. He almost had it, obviously, against Oakland. Oakland's a really good lineup. Kansas City is not. The Brewers we talked about, the Mets, Miami, and Milwaukee. Philadelphia can get going here in a little bit if they're going to be that bounce-back team. They've got 3 against Cincinnati. Then they go on the road to Tampa Bay. Jake Arrieta looked okay in his first start back, I suppose. Only went 4 innings, 75 pitches. Gave up 3 runs in the first, but other than that, bounced back nicely. And then St. Louis, 4 against Cincinnati. But I think the big team to watch this week is going to be Milwaukee and how they respond to losing the series to the Cubs, and now you've got the Cardinals and the Mets. So those will be, again, it's only in April, but those are still going to be big games to see how they perform. So that'll be it for today. Come back tomorrow. Check us out at LockedOnMLB.com. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, Stokey Tommy. And check us out on iTunes, Google Play, and check out the rest of our network, LockedOnMLB.com.